This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the December 5th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Learning the lessons of investing doesn't have to be trial and error, even though that's the common experience, trial and error. I can help you get a handle on the process without so much of the pain, so much of the error part. Yeah, you're still going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. You're still going to make them, but we can reduce them. Now, I have mentioned our selection of hand-picked books that you can read. They are a great resource. Also, our Invest Talk Insider program gives you access to a lot of information and a bunch of perspective. And, of course, you have an open invitation to contact me or us, me and Justin, directly with your questions. We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Or you can use the same number and leave your question on the 24 anytime line, 888-99-CHART. Now, Monday, the Labor Department announced the official 18-month extension for the start of the key provisions of the fiduciary rule. We've talked about the fiduciary rule for the last couple of years. It's going to move from the previous January 1st, 2018 date for compliance to July 1st, 2019. Why? I don't know. I mean, I don't see any reason why they keep postponing implementing the entire rule, but they do. So what does this mean to you? Well, first, let's make sure you understand what a fiduciary is. Now, a fiduciary prudently takes care of money or other assets for another person. That's what a fiduciary is. A fiduciary duty is the highest standard of care at either equity or law. While this law is being debated in the broader financial service industry, fiduciary standards have always applied to registered investment advisors like us, KPP Financial. So we always are supposed to comply with the fiduciary standards. Now, a registered investment advisor, which is what I am, what Justin is, what my firm is, are bound by the fiduciary laws. We have responsibilities which are both ethical and legal. A fiduciary is required to act in the best interest of their clients. Now, those that are not bound by the fiduciary, definition of fiduciary, they are only required to make decisions for their client that is appropriate, not best, appropriate. Appropriate. That's a very important distinction there. Remember, a fiduciary is a high standard of honesty, full disclosure, best interest of the client first, and cannot obtain a personal benefit at the expense of the client. Cannot. So it's very simple. For instance, investment advisors registered with the SEC or state securities and regulatory are fiduciaries. We are compensated by asset management fees, not commissions. You can understand how this might be important. Big, huge difference. We don't get commissions. If we were to receive commissions from the sale of certain financial products, there would be a natural conflict of interest. There shouldn't be a conflict of interest if you are a fiduciary. You always put the client first. There should be no conflict of interest. I hope this helps you understand what a fiduciary is, because it's kind of important. And you want to hire a fiduciary. If you have questions, please give me a call. We'll talk about it. Time to go to the 24-hour listener line and check up. Well, first of all, let's go to a live call. Noel just called from Napa. How you doing, Noel?
Great. Having a great day. Let's see. Aclaro, symbol OCLR. Just thought I'd get your take on that company.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Aclaro, everybody, it's a $1.1 billion company. And it makes transmitters, modulators, receivers, transceivers, laser chip amplifiers used in optical networks. Let's see, it has a really good sales growth. Sales growth has recent quarters have been slowed down. It used to be in the 50-60% per quarter. Now it's only 15-20% per quarter. Now I say only even though that's very good, right? I mean, only, I would say it in relationship to what it was before. And whenever you have a growth company whose sales start to go down, even though they're still high, but they're less than they were, the stock price goes down, and Eau Claire's stock price has gotten hit because of that. Okay, so now it's a stock that's selling for $7.10, and it's going to make 63 cents a share next year. Well, that means the P/E is going to be about 11 or so, and has a five-year range of 7 to 36. So now it's on the low end of its range, and it has a really good return on equity of 38%. It has very little debt. Management owns 2%. So it's a good, solid company, Noel. Now the question is, has it been beat up enough to be a buy point? And I would say it looks like it has. It fell all the way down to what? I think it would probably come down to about 650 to 660. It's at 710 now. And if it starts back up from that level, I would be a buyer. Simply because, you know, bounce from the bottom, and usually when they bounce from the bottom, sometimes they retest that bottom again. And then that's, if they do that and start to come up again, that's usually a pretty strong sign that it's hit the bottom and it's not going to go back below it. So you might want to buy a little here.
I've also read a little blurb that they're on a list of candidates probably that would be ripe for a takeover.
Oh, they're a juicy takeover target. $1.1 billion of market cap. I mean, you know, an Apple could buy that a spare change, buy the company a spare change.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're low enough would be very attractive for a buyout offer. Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
No, appreciate the call.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Have
you.
A good
OCLR,
afternoon.
It's a symbol, everybody. You too, Noel. Now, let's look at our list of topics today. It's not only men who indulge in smack talk about women's financial skills. Many women have characterized themselves as lacking in investment skills. Women investors get a bad rap. That's our main talking point today, and we'll spend a few minutes on that. Now, I don't know if you've heard me before, and I haven't said it in a while, but I feel that women investors, they are generally better than men. And I've said why. This is why I think that's true. Now, I'm talking about women investors. And now I have some evidence to back me up. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. And we know we have that tax law changing, big change coming in the income tax law. Well, does corporate America need a tax break? And S&P has companies that will benefit the most and ones who would benefit the least. What I found interesting about this article, and this is from MarketWatch, was what I'm going to talk about the five companies that pay some of the most taxes and five type of companies that pay the least. You'll find it interesting which ones pay the most and least. It's very interesting, I thought. Sector rotation. We're in the middle of some sector rotation. You don't have to have a whole market correct. Did you know that for a correction? It could correct by sector. One sector going down or a few sectors going down and other sectors going up. So we're having sector rotations going on right now, last week or so. I've talked about it. And Amazon IPO'd 20 years ago. Do you know there's a certain threshold when it gets into a business that makes Amazon take off as far as sales and profits? A certain threshold of getting into a new line. We'll talk about that threshold. Market was down today. Dow was down 109. The NASDAQ down 13. The S&P down 10. The Dow was down most of the day. Or was it the NASDAQ down most of the day? One of those indexes was down most of the day and came back. It was an interesting market. And you know how I've been telling you about up and down stocks, up and down on volume? 42 stocks up on volume and 313 stocks down on volume. Still a lot of negativity inside the internals, which I find interesting. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. How is investing different than gambling? My wife likes to talk to me about that. Some think that they're the same, like my wife. When you purchase a share of a company's common stock, you are getting something of value. That's the main difference. Your money buys something, a small percentage of that something, a company, but you have a claim on that part of the company you buy. It's yours. It's an asset. Can't say that about gambling in a casino. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
I'm fine, Stu. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Stu, I have a question on CenturyLink CTL. I think it pays a very good dividend and it's a good profit-making company. I just don't know if this is a good price or should I wait to buy more.
Okay, let's take a look at it. This is CenturyLink, Inc., everybody. Provides local exchange, long-distance network access, and broadband services to rural communities in 37 states. They're going to make $1.70 this year after making $2.45 last year. And then next year, they're going to make $1.20. So, therefore, you know, obviously, the stock has been falling. Sales have been falling about 7, 8% in the last couple of quarters. In the last year, the sales have been falling between 4 and 8% a quarter. So they're weak. It fell from $25 a share in June to now $14. So almost in half. So the question is this a value stock now? Should you be buying it? Well, it's a long-distance phone company, so the chances are pretty darn good that it's not going to go out of business. They now pay a 15% dividend on a $14 stock. That means they got to pay almost, what, $2 a share? Well, they don't make $2 a share. They'll make $1.20 next year. They won't pay enough to pay 15%. So chances are very good, Jay, they're not going to pay that high of a dividend. Very good. Return equity is at 10%. Very good cash flow of $8 a share. So they might be able to pay the dividend. But chances are good they will lower it. They're pretty good. Is it cheap enough? Well, it makes $1.20. It's a $14 stock. So now they're what? 10 PE looking forward. I think you want to go sideways a little bit more, but this looks like probably a good buy point, Jay, if you're patient. Okay.
Okay. All right.
You got to be patient though with it. It's not going to bounce right back up. It's got to, you want to find out why its sales are going down and what are they doing to turn that around. Without sales going up, their earnings are not going to go up. So that concerns me. And they have a lot of debt. So I'd have to check into more, but on a chart, this might be the place where they'll stop falling. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. I welcome your money questions, any money questions. Most people spend two-thirds of their income on food, housing, and transportation. It's what you do with the rest that determines your financial future, that last third. So let's talk about your plan. We can talk live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or use the same number for our off-hour calls, 888-99-CHART. Women investors. What's really interesting about their survey is it found that, you know, okay, first of all, we have a male-dominated field here in investing, right? Everybody knows it's male-dominated. And males have, you know, egos, and they always say how bad women investors are, and it's untrue. But what's really interesting about their survey is most women believe they're bad investors as well. Have they bought men's argument? And then going further, they found that those women who invest actually do better than the men. And I have been saying this for a long, long, long time, that I think women make better investors. If they have the interest, they make better investors. And I've given my opinion why. Because men are like, in prehistoric times, are hunters. They're always looking for the next big, great thing. Women are more nesters. They like to just buy something good and solid and just sit. And that methodology works much better in the market than the hunter methodology. And that's what I think it is. And I've just observed this over the years and years and years. And I think women make better investors. Now, I will say this. They have to have an interest, and not very many women have interest. It's just not their cup of tea, I guess. I don't know. But the ones who do have interest, I think they do pretty darn good. So men, stop bashing the women. Listen to your spouses, your wives, your girlfriends. Listen to them when it comes to investing. Sometimes if they're paying attention, they're doing pretty good. Anyways, that's my opinion. And I'm very happy that this Forbes article backs it up. Okay, let's go back to the listener line, see if we have some more questions than we do, of course. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it's always open. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. It's Henning from Kiev, Ukraine, listening to you on the podcast. Excellent show, as always. My question today is about an auto safety company from Sweden called Autoliv, ALV. And I was wondering whether you could give me a fair price and what you think of the sustainability of the dividend. Thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
Okay, Autoliv Inc., it's out of Sweden. It's an ADR traded on the New York Stock Exchange. ADR, American Depository Receipt. That means it's a foreign company that complies with our New York Stock Exchange rules and general accounting practices, on and on and on. And therefore, it's now sponsored by a bank here, and they buy a bunch of Swedish shares, repackage them, and sell them as ADRs on our exchange. Swedish manufacturer of airbags, seatbelt safety restraint systems for the automotive industry. They're going to make money. They've always made money. They made $6.75 last year. And that was the highest they made since going back to 2008, where they made $6.80. This year, though, they're only going to make $6.27, from $6.75 to $6.27. Next year, they're going to have their best year ever at $7.15 a share. That's how much they're going to make. $128 stock. So you're looking at a stock that's not cheap. Okay, it's not cheap. Based on next year's earnings, what is that going to be? Well, about 18-ish. Their five-year range is 11 to 22. Return on equity is 17%, which, you know, I like. I like anything above 16% is really nice. Mutual funds are slowly buying this over the last year. Sales are kind of flat in the last few quarters. 2% growth most recent quarter, 1% fall, 7% growth, 3% growth. That's going backwards. That's what it's been. So it's flattish. Pays a 1.9% dividend. I don't think that's going away. They make plenty of money to pay that dividend. That's not really an issue. Not too much debt. So what's a good buy point? Well, it just broke out of a overhead resistance, about 126, and now it's 128. So it just broke out above that. I'm thinking, since it broke out, you go ahead and buy it. Now, if you wanted to wait for a pullback, the ideal pullback would probably be about $110. $110, that would be filling a gap it made in September. That would be maybe $112, somewhere around there. Remember, it's $128 today. Autoliv Inc. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? We're going to go talk to Alan in Livermore. How are you doing, Alan?
Hey, doing well, Steve.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Hey, I got a question for you. I'm 58 years old. I anticipate working for my company for at least another 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
My question is in regard to how I should allocate the money that I'm saving for retirement. So let me tell you what my options are. Traditional 401k, where there's a company match, mm-hmm. a Roth 401k, a employee stock purchase plan, which allows us to buy the company stock at a 15% discount to the current market price, mm-hmm. but you can't sell it or cash it in for 3 years if you take the 15% discount. And then we have a deferred comp plan, which pays a guaranteed 4%. So right now, I'm putting a little bit into all four of those.
Mm-hmm.
The company stock has actually done quite well. It's up about 50% this year. So I'm less inclined to put more money into that going forward because I don't anticipate the you know, the fund or the stock continuing to do that
right.
Well.
Yeah, probably won't. It's already been up 50%. I would probably, since you got only a 2 to 4 year window, I like that. I like that guarantee 4%. If you want to hold on, we'll talk about it more. But I do like that guarantee 4%. I might lean on that. This is InvestTalk, everybody.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and their new Disciplined Equity Program. This is an addition to KPP's select investment programs, and it raises expectations. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing on only high-quality companies. And although the portfolio is concentrated, it limits exposure to any one sector of the market. Check it out if you're interested. Click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com or click on Contact Steve and he'll gladly fill you in about it. As with all of KPP's programs, a KPP financial principal is personally invested right alongside their clients. This is parallel investing and it's your assurance of optimum care and diligence. The new Disciplined Equity Program from KPP Financial. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is InvestTalk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective. Include us in on your decision-making process. Talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions to Steve right now. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Alan, I really appreciate you holding on because I really want to talk to you about this a little bit. So you really have four things. You have matches with a regular 401k and a Roth 401k. And I don't think I would do at your age the Roth necessarily, even though that's a preference of mine. But I do like the match. That's free money. How much will they match? Will they match a certain amount and then stop?
Yeah, it's up to 4% of your salary.
Okay. So then I would put 4% just to get that 4% match. So you
get 8. Only match on the regular IRA, not the Roth.
Okay, so it'd be the regular 401k.
I mean, I'm sorry, right.
Yeah, so do 4% there, and I don't know if I'd buy more stock with using the same argument you just gave me because it's done so well, and you have to wait 3 years before you can sell it, right?
Yes.
So you don't want to get overloaded in that one stock no matter how good the company is. Then I do like that 4% earnings on that more conservative choice. What did you call it?
Deferred comp.
Deferred comp. I like that a lot. Because you're 2 to 4 years from retiring,
right,
so I don't want to take too much risk. I want to start reducing the risk that you're taking in the market.
Right. And you can defer up to 25% of your total compensation, but I can't do that.
Yeah, it's too much. Probably.
I can't live on the remainder. Yeah, but it is a nice benefit because it certainly reduces the amount of income that you pay taxes on as well.
That's right. So you don't pay taxes on it, and you're earning 4%. And in this, it sounds low to us that have been around a while, but in this environment, that's very good with no risk.
Okay. So that's, you're saying basically just fund that deferred comp plan up to the point that I can comfortably live on the rest.
Yes, and do the 4% so you get the 4% match on your 401k.
Got it. All right. Thanks so much.
Appreciate the call. When you get close to retirement, maybe we can sit down and talk about, you know, how to manage this in retirement for income so it reduces income from you for you all the time and what you can live on and expenses. We go through all the whole thing to try to help you out with that, okay? Appreciate the call. Andrew in Sunnyvale, how you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. I'm actually doing pretty good.
That's wonderful. I got a question on Bank of America. When is what's a good price to get in?
Ooh. Well, I don't know if you noticed, we've had some sector rotation, and the sector that's doing well, one of the sectors is financials. And Bank of America, of course, is one of the bigger companies in that area. And it has moved up very sharply in the last week or so, from $26 to almost $29. And people say, well, that's not very much. Well, that's like 11% in a week. That's a lot. For a company this size, $300 billion, that's a lot. So it has what we call technically broken out, and technically you're supposed to buy a breakout. In other words, broken out is now an upward run, so run with it and buy some. But Andrew, I'd probably just maybe buy half your position. Let's say you're going to buy 200 shares. Buy 100 now and see if it pulls back. And if it does pull back to the $27 range, I'd buy the other half. Because I think it's going to do well with the new tax law. If it gets passed, it should do well. Financial should do well. Okay?
Okay. Thank you for your advice.
Thank you, Andre. I appreciate the call. Andrew, Bank of America, BAC. Everybody knows who Bank of America is. I don't need to give you a description. Other than a $300 billion in size. That's big. Sales growth is going up 5, 6, 7%. That's pretty good for a company that big. Can't complain about that kind of sales growth. Let's talk about the tax law. Okay, there was an article on MarketWatch. I read a lot. MarketWatch is my first source just because it's out of habit. No other reason. And they looked at all the S&P 500 companies and determined what is the current tax rate of these companies and what is their tax rate and who would benefit the most. What industries would? What I found interesting is right on the front cover, they said that Chevron's tax rate is 42%. GE's tax rate is 8%. That was their lead off. So that tells you what GE has been getting crushed. Chevron has been doing pretty well. But the thing I really, and they also said, they also do a sector watch. For instance, they look at consumer staples, for instance, their tax rate is 31.2%. Their medium tax rate over the last 11 years, 31%. People think that corporations don't pay their share, don't pay taxes or whatever. Yeah, they pay taxes, but the actual truth is who really pays taxes is us because we buy their stuff. And when we buy their stuff, they pay taxes with the profits that we give them. We're the ones paying the taxes. Now, what I found most interesting is here are the five companies that are paying the most and their percentage. Now listen to the types of companies. I'm going to give you the five paying the most and the five paying the least. Apple, 26%. Microsoft, 23%. Alphabet, which is part of Google, 21%. And Amazon, 31%. And Facebook, 40%. Okay, that's their tax rate that they're paying. Now the ones who pay the least. Royal Caribbean Cruises, 0. United Continental Holdings, Continental UAL, 0.1%. Carnival Cruises, 0.7%. Wynn Resorts, 2.6%. Seagate, 2.9%. What did you notice about this? You should have noticed that the tech companies, some of the tech companies are paying the least. And you'll notice that the companies that have really, really intensive outlays for building or equipment, airplanes, hotel and resorts, big ships, cruise ships, they pay the least because it's a function of business. They have high depreciation. They pay huge amounts of money for a fleet of cruise ships, and they get to depreciate that, and then they get to write the depreciation off their income. So they get to pay less taxes because they have a big depreciation. Whereas tech companies, what do they have? They have intellectual investments. In other words, employees. They don't really, have factories. These many of them don't. They don't, software companies we're talking about. They don't have factories. They don't have huge outlays of capital. So their income, they don't get depreciation. This is what kind of was glaring to me, anyways. I thought that was pretty interesting. I might find it interesting. You may not, but I do. What can you learn about yourself by answering a handful of questions online? Well, just how much risk you really feel comfortable with. If you take our free risk analysis quiz, it's very short, just a few minutes, 2, 3, 4 minutes at the most. Then if you like, what that does is it gives you a score from 0 to 100. The higher the score, the more risk you're comfortable with. And then if you'd like, you can give us, KPP Financial, your current retirement portfolio, and we'll put it into the same software, and it will also determine the risk of that portfolio and compare your personal score with the risk of your portfolio. They should match up pretty closely. If they don't, there's an issue that you have to address. It's free. So you click on investtalk.com right there on investtalk.com. I'm sorry. You click on the Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com.
You can always spot an InvestTalk insider. There may be something in the way they walk or that confident look when they enter the room. It's because they now have a ready source of information and perspective. Easy to read info sheets, a whole library of InvestTalk Wealth webinars to watch whenever they like, and that slightly smug look on their face signals that they got it all for free. If you'd like to share in their air of superiority, just click on the InvestTalk tab on investtalk.com and look for InvestTalk Insider.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. Looking at an ETF, it's an iShares U.S. Preferred Stock ETF. Ticker is PFF, that's Papa Frank Frank. Basically a dividend investor, and I'm looking at this because it has stocks that I am not invested in. It has a really nice return. The 52-week range is 33 to 39, so it looks very stable. The expense ratio is 0.47, which is a bit high in my mind, but given what it's invested in and the stability and the yield, it looks pretty nice to me. So I'd like to get your thoughts about that. Again, that's PFF. Thank you very much.
Okay, first of all, it doesn't own stocks. PFF is an ETF, exchange-traded fund, seeking performance corresponding to the S&P U.S. Preferred Stock Index. It owns preferred stocks, not common stock. And that's one of the reasons. And a preferred stock acts more like a bond than a stock because it pays a set interest rate, a yield. It has, some of them have time limits. Some of them are unlimited time. They just go on forever. But the focus is yield for preferreds. And therefore, they don't go up and down. They do have some impact from the underlying company. You know, the weaker that company, the weaker the preferreds look, the stronger, the better. So they do move up and down with the market, kind of. And you can see that this year. They moved from, what, $35 beginning of the year to $38 end of the year. So it moved up, but not very much. It just does not. So, but it does pay that yield. And that yield is probably pretty secure. And the yield here is 5.8%. So that's why you buy it. You buy it for the yield, not for the capital appreciation. Remember, it's like a bond, not like a stock. PFF is a symbol, everybody. 888-99-CHART, sector rotation. Investors in the last week have been fleeing tech stocks, which has been the hottest sector this year by far. And where have they gone? Well, it looks like they've gone to telephone and financials, a lot of them. So we're seeing a rotation out of the big tech into something else. And I'll give you an example. Information technology for the year is up over 35%. For the week, they're down 2%. Telephone type stocks are down 16% for the year. But for the week, they're up 6.3% for the week. Financials, now they were up this year, 12%. But for the last week, they were up 5.2% in a week. So that's how what I mean by sector rotation. We're seeing certain sectors not nearly as favored. And tech stocks, because they've done so well, are getting beat up. You don't have to take my word for it. Go look at a chart of the FANG stocks. Facebook, Google. Look at all of them. Look at, Apple. Not that they're complete. They're not, like, collapsing or anything. They've just gone down. They've gone down. And I just want you to recognize that what you're seeing is what we call sector rotation. Now, remember, we've been looking for a correction. Sometimes a correction comes in the form of sector rotation. Some sectors getting beat up, while other sectors, do very well. So that's possible that we could have that kind of sector rotation and that kind of correction starting to take place. I have been more broadly looking at the market, and I can tell you what I see is more that the value stocks are starting to work, whereas the growth stocks are starting to stutter, start to fall a little bit. But growth stocks are getting, I mean, value stocks seems to be where a lot of people are moving to. They see some stocks sectors too overvalued. We're here for you, beginner experienced. Doesn't matter to me. I like talking to everybody. So let's talk to this person, 888-99-CHART, who's the anytime number.
Hey, guys. Love your show. This is Tyler in Seattle. I was just wondering if you guys thought that this would be a good time to buy shares of GE. It just seems like it's been holding steady right at this $18 mark. Just wondering what you guys' thoughts were. Thank you.
Well, I talked to the guys, Justin, Jason, the two other registered investment advisors in my office, and I've talked about GE, and I've said it might still be premature to get into GE, but I think they've been beaten up enough. General Electric, everybody, it's a $154 billion company. Sales have actually increased in the last quarter 14%, but before the three quarters before that, they were down. 2%, 1%, and 12% down, and then rebounded this most recent quarter to 14%. Earnings have gone down, $1.07 from $1.16 this year, and then $1.02 next year. And it's a $17 stock, so you're looking at a 17 PE or so. Well, the five-year range is 15 to 90 PE range. Return on equity is okay at 13%, but it's a huge company. I mean, and it pays a 5.4% dividend, which I think is fairly secure, I think. I don't know. I think it might be a little bit premature at this point, but it looks like it's been beaten up enough to me. I would wait. I'm kind of a show-me kind of guy. I want to see it start to get stronger. I'd like to see it break up above maybe the 20-day moving average, which right now is at about 1850. I'd like to see some strength come back in the stock before I step in. So I think that's what I would suggest. Just be patient. Keep it on your watch list. And I think that, you know, you're going to get an opportunity. I do. Kind of reminds me of, a strategy. Dogs of the Dow strategy. Well, this would be a dog of the Dow for this year. You're listening to Invest Talk. If you don't know what that means, look it up. Dogs of the Dow. I'm Steve Peasley. You had almost an hour to formulate your question now, so no excuse. Time to give me a call. You have the last segment of the show going on, 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Kyle in Richmond. How you doing, Kyle?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you for the call.
I got one stock that I'd like to get your take.
Okay.
It's VHI, V as in Victor, H-I.
Okay, VHI is Valhi Inc., V-A-L-H-I Inc., Valhi, symbol VHI, manufactures titanium dioxide pigments, ring components, and security products. It's a $2.4 billion company. They're going to make 19 cents this year after losing money last year and the year before, and then 71 cents next year. Huge gain next year. Sales are going up 25%+ per quarter, last four quarters. So growth in sales, growth in earnings. Now the question is, it has moved up from a low of like, what, $2.25 in September to $7.21 now. So what you're doing here, Kyle, is chasing this performance. It's already done very, very well. And now the question is, can it do more?
I just sold it yesterday, and I want to get back in.
Ah.
But today it went up so high.
Yeah, don't get back in now. Don't do that. No, you did the right thing if you had a huge profit in it, taking some profits. But next time you do this, Cal, only take half the profits, and the other half have a tight stop, and just keep letting it run up. So you don't. So at least you're participating in the continuation of the run if it continues. Now that you're out of it, but you still like it, I'd wait for a strong pullback, maybe down to the $4 area. 450. If it gets down there, I'd buy it back.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Thanks for the call.
So just hold on, be patient, and wait for it to go down.
Yep, and if it doesn't go down, well, that's life sometimes. Be happy you've made a bunch of money. Thanks, Cal. Will in San Diego, how you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I just wanted a quick reading on Freeport MacMoran.
Okay.
It's a good time to get in.
Okay, that's symbol is FCX, everybody. Freeport MacMoran engaged in exploration and development copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia, North and South America. And it hasn't really done that well or done very much. And, you know, I think you're getting pretty darn close to where you should want to be a buyer. It's going to make $1.64 next year after making $1.12 this year after making 20 cents a share last year. That's pretty darn attractive for a $14 stock. That means the P is going to be like 8. And the 5-year range is 10 to 111. 10 to 11 is going to be 8 next year.
Yeah, it's quite a range.
Yeah, and it's going to be below the low if it doesn't move at all. And it's been consolidating for a while. I kind of like it, Will, at this price.
Okay.
I kinda,
probably nibble at it.
I think that's what I do.
Position.
Yeah, take a half position. If it starts to move up on you, buy the other half.
Okay.
Good luck with
Sounds
it.
Sounds good.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
FCX. Nick and Hayward, how you doing, Nick?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for
Appreciate
making it.
Appreciate it. What do you think about VOD, Vodafone? I'm thinking about buying some.
Vodafone, everybody. It is a UK-based provider of digital wireless voice data services to 462 million mobile customers in 26 countries. They're going to make $1.15 this year, $1.37 next year. That's 8% up this year and another almost 20% up next year. Sales are flat, though, which is a little distressing. They're not growing. Earnings are going up, so they're wringing out more profit. But it does have a nice dividend, 5.6%. And I have a feeling that dividend is not going away. They have $6.14 cash flow. So they get lots of cash coming in, so that dividend's probably going to stay there. Not too much debt. I'd probably wait for a pullback. I'm not really keen on it. I'm not death on it either. I'm just not keen on it because of the sales growth. It's a big company, $91 billion, so pretty safe.
Maybe about $28 a share might be a good price.
It might be. Yeah, I kind of like it there. Good luck with it,
All
Nick.
Right.
Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, tomorrow we'll be in San Jose for the individual portfolio reviews. That's December 6th. To get on the schedule, I think I have only one slot left. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then portfolio review. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I thank you for spending this hour with me. On behalf of the whole KPP family, thank you for being part of the program. I do appreciate it. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.